It is time for the Wine Show on 96.5 Inner FM. Thank you, Ron, and special guest Stephen, for your show Worship on the Wireless. How's your grand final hangover? I did jump on the GWS bandwagon for 5 minutes, but I think I'm off it again. Don't hold it against me, though. I lived in Greater Western Sydney for most of my life and have almost no interest in AFL. Who am I? My name is Phil Smith. I am owner, creator, and manager of The Wine Depository. The Wine Depository offers wine retail and wine experiences, tours, tastings, food and wine events, wine dinners for public, private, and corporate events. Truly winning at wining. When I finished high school, I decided to take a gap year. By that, I meant sit at home and do nothing. My mum went and got me a job at the local Liquorland in North St Mary's. Little did anyone know, but that was the start of a career that spanned almost 19 years and counting. I've worked at wineries, wine bars, vineyards, racecourses, fine wine retail, and major wine events. And I started my own business, The Wine Depository. My work for the last 8.5 years. I'm a published wine writer, a radio presenter, I've travelled extensively through Australia and New Zealand, and I've also visited wine regions in Italy and Germany, not to mention hosted a few trips to France. Along the way, I picked up a bit of an ability at running business and use that knowledge to provide support to other businesses in the liquor industry that want to be more successful. I love wine, and I hope we will share that love of wine today. Jump on to www.thewinedepository.com.au and get in touch. For the show today, you're going to hear from Benoit Drouin at Jean-Paul et Benoit Drouin Chablis. It's one of the last remaining recordings I have from my visit to France in April earlier this year. We have Simon Nash from Winehound. Also, maybe a familiar voice to you if you listen to the show regularly, he's going to call in and chat about the special broadcast next week. We have Tyson Stelzer, friend of the show, prolific wine writer, and he's going to invite you to a tasting of the greatest Australian red blend. What is that blend? Well, you're going to have to keep listening. We have Music Matinee. We have Nicholas Young, who is going to tell us why we need to get into the city on Tuesday and hear what he's got to play for us. And to wrap the show up, we have Angie Bradbury. She is back in town and has an amazing award to her name now. So we are going to start off with Jean-Paul Drouin. My customer Ian and I had an absolute blast. We tried 15 of their 2017 wines, and then we had to help Benoit select a fresh, which is a very French term, 2015 from 5 of his range. 20 Chablis before lunchtime, and we only wish we had been invited to lunch to enjoy a few more, although I did have to drive home, and Ian had a bit of a snooze while I had to concentrate, so probably better I didn't drink any more. So, Chardonnay. Chardonnay is one of the truly noble white wine varieties. Chardonnay is a wonderful grape variety. The best wines of Chardonnay are without peer. It makes some of my favourite wines. They can be Chablis, Champagne, especially the Blanc de Blanc Champagne, White Burgundy, or good old Chardonnay from the New World. Chardonnay is probably the most flexible grape in the world, and don't let anyone tell you it is rubbish to write off such a diversity of flavour spectrum with one sweeping statement and remorse from overindulgences of years gone by is folly or worse. There is at least one style of Chardonnay out there for you, and I want to help you find it. We're going to talk about Chablis in a second, but in the vineyard, you can plant it in any soil, in any climate, and then work it how you want to in the winery, and it'll still taste like at least an okay wine. When people hit the sweet spot of climate, site, cropping, and winemaking, Chardonnay becomes a magical wine that will age gracefully, charming you at any age you choose to pop the cork. In the winery, Chardonnay's greatest strength is also its weakness. Because it is so workable, some winemakers trick it up and forget to let the grape speak for itself. That is how we have a generation of people who refuse to drink Chardonnay due to the trend of buttery, oaky, creamy chards in the 80s and 90s, and I still meet occasionally people who like that style. They are very few and far between. In the bottle, Chardonnay can range from the cool climate, lean and citrusy, to warmer climate, tropical and overt. Oak and lees can add flavouring, as can malolactic fermentation. And let us not forget, Chardonnay is an important grape variety in the production of champagne and quality sparkling wine from around the world. To sum it up, it's hard to generalize on Chardonnay as a whole, and really, the best way to know what Chardonnay is like is to taste it, and I highly advocate tasting Chardonnay as often as possible. If you're not feeling adventurous but want a decent Chardonnay, I can suggest sticking to classic producers whose style you enjoy as the safest course. Benoit is the head with his brother of Drouin, and he will explain it in a second all about his estate, but he briefly talks about the soil types in Chablis. The key to quality Chablis is a Kimmeridgian soil. This is a marine fossils, mineral-rich clay that the Chardonnay grows in that's bright white, and it's fantastic if you haven't seen it. Petit Chablis comes off the Portlandian soils for the most part and makes wine that are fruitier and less mineral, and therefore obviously less Chardonnay in origin. So let's hear from Benoit, and he's going to introduce himself right off the bat.
So I am Benoît Drouin from the domaine Jean-Paul and Benoît Drouin in Chablis in France. We are old winery because we are sure that we existing since 1620, and I am the fourth 14th generation, father too soon. So I'm very lucky to continue with the domaine. And we produce 16 different wines on 26 hectares.
Okay. So we taste not all the range, but near to all the range.
Yep,
in the last vintage in bottles, 17.
Yep, beautiful.
So, and this year.
Yeah.
Alors, Petit Chablis. So you know well Chablis, the wine, the different part of the soil. For Petit Chablis, it's not Kimmeridgian, but Portlandian soil.
Yep.
It's a different soil. For all the other, after it's like that, it's Kimmeridgian.
Yeah. Do you have the Portlandian here?
Portlandian Petit Chablis.
Yeah,
I mean... No, but it's like that.
Okay.
It's like that. It's more, big stone, white stone.
Yeah.
And Kimmeridgian is very, it's a deposit of oysters, little oysters.
Yeah.
This is Kimmeridgian?
Yes. You have different style of Kimmeridgian, more compact and more less compact, you know, you imagine? It's like that, yes. You have the others after.
We started in Champagne and we went to the Côte d'Or.
Côte d'Or, yes. Okay. And they have some Kimmeridgian, so.
Yeah, and it was fascinating.
So is all of your production from your own vineyards?
Yes. I have just some... I bought some Chablis and I have a Grand Cru Les Pros which I bought because it's for my pleasure to do a new terroir.
Yeah.
I like, but for the other, yes, it's my my production.
Yeah.
Alors, now Chablis village.
Yeah, how big is your estate overall?
Yep. Where are the vine?
Yeah.
Yes, all around Chablis.
Yep.
Because Chablis village, you have a Chablis village in different place. All is yellow. It's Chablis village. So I have a great part of my Chablis are here and here, but I have different area of Chablis.
Yeah.
Yep.
And Grand Cru?
Grand Cru is only here.
Only here. Yep.
Just 2% of Chablis, yep. Of production of Chablis.
So now Chablis is Kimmeridgian, so the difference between Portlandian and Kimmeridgian. Generally, Portlandian is more accessible, you have more aromas. Kimmeridgian is more reductive, less expressive, but with more power, more richness. Alors, now, premier cru, Vosgro.
Vosgro is this one. You see.
So, this premier cru, like the Petit Chablis Chablis, it's only tank. There's no part in the barrel.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So is it Vosgro?
Yes. Down here. So does that mean it's sort of facing west?
It's even because Vosgro is down. It's a valley, and you have Vosgro in different exposition.
Yeah.
My exposition is south and little east.
Yeah.
But you have some part only west because it's.
So that would give you quite a different style of wine.
Yes, but in Chablis, the exposition is second. For me, it's secondaire. It's not the most important because all the producers are generally in the valley.
Yep.
And what is more important is the microclimate of the valley, more important than the exposition.
Yeah.
Because you have, for example, in Beaudésir or in Valmure, the Grand Cru in Chablis, you have the Grand Cru in the two sides.
Yeah.
Anvers and Adroit on Anvers. So, but the microclimate is the same because the valley is very close.
Yeah.
Very classic,
rich, pure. And for this wine, I don't want a wood for that. In the past, before it was a 08, I put part in oak, but the result was never what I expect, was sometimes too heavy. So I decided in 08 to put out the oak and to have only tank.
Yeah.
Now, premier cru Vaillon. Now we have some part in barrels. Because all the other premier cru, it's always interesting because the blend with the part of tank, which gives the energy, the minerality, and the barrels are giving a more elegance. So the blend of the two things are very interesting. I searched every time the wine a good balance with between the freshness and the elegance.
Yeah.
And Vaillon is premier cru, very classic, with not too much earth, a lot of stone, and it's always classic mineral and floral.
Mm.
And with a little part of barrels, it gives wine every time open, accessible.
Yeah, yeah.
So this it's a good wine for restaurants.
So this one is
yes, good. It's a blend. All these are Vaillon. You have yeah. Vaillon and a different place in Vaillon. And my Vaillon is a blend of five places of yeah. Vaillon.
How many hectares do you have altogether?
26.
That's lovely. I love that floral and yeah, the richness here. It's...
Yes, they are all different. You have the purity with rose gros, ready yeah. to drink a good glass of Chablis. And when you arrive on Vaillon, you have something more spiritual, more elegant.
Yeah. And what was 17 like for you guys?
It was a very good vintage, but start very bad with the frost.
Yeah.
Was a very very difficult vintage at start when we start because a lot of frost gel. And after for the rest, it was perfect.
Yeah.
Good condition of rain, enough rain but not too much. Enough temperature but not too much and not too low, so no stress for the vine. The vine grew slowly and perfectly.
Yep.
And I just remember on the harvest when you have the juice under the press, the flower was wonderful.
Yeah.
I never find that. It's my 20th harvest and it was the first time I feel that. And acidity all was very perfect.
Yeah.
And for me, yes, 17 is a very, very good vintage, like 14, like 10, 11, but 17 is more accessible because for the richness.
Yeah, because yeah, these are lovely. They're universally just pure and bright.
Pure.
And
they are pure, classic,
yeah.
and rich. So yeah. it's perfect. It's what we want. Because
yeah.
we want minerality, but not too hard. We want richness, but not too heavy. So when you have the good balance, it's wonderful.
You're listening to 96.5 Inner FM.
So to compare, it's the neighbors of Vaillon, it's Montmain. It's just the neighbors, but you feel a different style. Montmain,
here, the slope is light, very light. So you don't have like in Vaillon the earth. Don't go down, the earth stay in place, so the clay are more important, so you have deeper soil, and the deeper soil give to the wine more richness. So it's less mineral than the Vaillon, but with more richness, more like what you imagine a Burgundy wine,
yeah.
the richness.
You can find nuts, almond, and toasted aromas.
Yeah. Have you had much issue with frost this year?
Yes, one day, 1 week ago, more than 1 week ago, and 4 days, the last 2 days, four nights, very difficult, very,
yeah.
very difficult. The night, normally when we have frost, we have we have problem with the temperature at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
And Saturday night at 10 o'clock in the evening.
Yeah.
10 o'clock it start to be under zero.
Yeah.
It was very I made four nights, Thursday, Friday, Saturday and Sunday, and in the first four days I just sleep 15 hours.
Yeah.
I was totally
What do you use to combat the frost?
We put some candles. We have different system, but essentially in Chavis, candles. Candles and we say Brandy, perhaps you don't know the name, but Brandy is a system with gasol, fuel.
Yeah.
Like for a house when you want. And you put with pressure, it do frog. And we put the light and warm
yep.
the van.
Warm,
yes.
Yeah.
But it's very, very expensive. Very expensive because we have to put the system, we put 200 per hectares, and the consumption is 2 liters of fuel per hour.
Oh,
wow. So, two liters. And 200 system in the hectares, so it's 400 liters per hour and per hectare. So if you have 5 hectares, you imagine. And in the last Saturday night, it was near to 8 hours to put it. So imagine the price every day. When you have one day, okay. If you have 10 days, for Chavis, it's too expensive. For Grand Cru, okay, but for Chablis, it's too expensive.
Okay.
Now, this is Mont de Milieu.
Sorry, this is...
Mont de Milieu, it's here.
Okay. Yeah.
Mont de Milieu, it's in the south. Directly in the south. Not south-east, not south-west, not west, not east, it's south. And you can find that in the wine. It's a very sunny exposition, and we find the aromas of white fruit, white flower. We have pear, peach, apricot. It's very, very... aromatic.
Yeah, it's very exotic too. It's, yeah,
it's got a distinct nose.
Totally different. It's interesting, and it's what I like to show. It's we are very lucky in Chablis to have this possibility to show all the different style. We just have one cépage, one soil, one vintage, and a lot of different style.
Yeah. So just historically.
Yes.
Was there one part of Chablis that was the origin, or one part that was classic and it's grown from there, or is it always been this big?
No, it's all this, all you see it's in appellation, but all was not in vine.
Yeah.
The historic Chablis vine was here.
Okay.
And after they going grow after on the other place. But
yeah.
Historically the appellation are here. So at the basic 40 years ago, in the 70s, Chablis was just 2,000 hectares, and now Chablis is 6,000.
Is that including Petit Chablis?
Petit Chablis, there was, but it was very low. It was,
yeah.
But there's not too much Petit Chablis in Chablis.
No.
That's 700 hectares. The max, the principal appellation is Chablis Village.
Mm.
Chablis Village, it's more than 4,000. Because Premier Cru is 1,000 and I don't remember exactly. And Grand Cru just 100 hectares. Alors, now Premier Cru Fourchaume.
Premier Cru
Fourchaume here, yes. Fourchaume, it's you have different place in Fourchaume, so it's not generally the same style of all the Fourchaume. And the place where I am, it's Vaupulon. It's here.
This one?
Yeah. Yes. It's more rich. Here it's mineral, but this place is very rich.
Yeah.
Because there's more earth, like Moma. And you will see the wine. So there's more concentration.
Did you have a bit more oak as well?
50%. It's almost all single wood, but for Fourchaume, it's the one which sees the most quantity of oak.
couldn't smell it up.
Because it's a wine which likes that, and it's a wine which need time. So at first we can find, can feel more the wood, but with time the complexity of the quantity of wood is very interesting. So I need to put more oak young to have a very good blend, very good complexity with time.
Yeah.
So a lot of people like that. If you prefer without oak, with less oak, if you have to wait 7 to 10 years.
Yeah. Does it have a bit more acid than some of them as well? It seems very, like the acid seems quite prominent.
It's the same acidity. There's not a big difference.
Yeah. No.
So, no, the, I don't remember, 17 was about 5 grams of tartric. Now, Monte Tonnerre to finish with Premier Cru. Monte Tonnerre is near to the opposite of Fourchon. Monte Tonnerre, Fourchon is very large, very rich, very, yes. And Monte Tonnerre is like that. It's more like a knife, very aiguisé, sharp,
yep,
but sharp. Very long. It's a wine to keep 15, 20 years, because Monte Tonnerre is always the best with time. Young, it's always disappointed. It's not ready, a little difficult, very strong, very hard, but very pure. Mm. And when you wait, it's the best. But yes, you have to wait. But you see the aromas, a classic of Silex, of Flint.
Flint, yeah. We've drunk a few Monte de Tonnerre in our time, and with a bit of age, it's a beautiful vineyard.
What vintage?
What was the one we had up at your place? Sorry. I tried some 06s a couple of years ago.
06?
06.
Ah, 06, it's very odd vintage.
Mm.
It was okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was, yeah.
It has to be older, 2004, 2005.
I think it was 05, actually.
05 or 06?
I went up to his house and we had an 05.
Ah, okay.
But I put on a dinner of Chablis and we looked at some 06s.
What to the domain was?
Ravenau.
Eh? 06, no, I don't taste. But 06, it's a, yes, it's very old vintage.
Mm.
For me, it's necessary to wait.
Yeah.
Because to have more, at this time, it's too much, not really.
Yeah.
I have difficulty for me with old vintage, like 06, like 5, it's okay. Like 3, like 15, yes. It's a vintage you have to wait a long time.
Yeah.
We always say we have to wait when it's fresh vintage, cold vintage, but it's the same thing for old vintage.
So what are your thoughts on 05?
05?
Yeah.
It was hot, but not not the same. It was more fresh. So what's the problem in 06? It was just before harvest, 1 week before, it was a rainy, and just after 30 degrees. So the maturity do that, and perhaps we don't wait because we were ready, but it was too late. We have to harvest more quickly because we passed. I say not mature too much mature in 5 days. It was very quick.
Yeah.
You're listening to 96.5 Inner FM.
Now Blanchot, Grand Cru, Blanchot. Yeah, it's here. So this Grand Cru, it's my only Grand Cru without oak. It's only tank because for the same reasons than Vosgros, I don't like the blend with wood. It's never, it's too heavy. It's not the wine are very pure in Blanchot, very delicate. And if you put some oak, we always lose this purity. So
yeah.
I prefer it like that.
It's spicy.
You see, very classic, very pure, very classic Chablis, and very good. And Blanchot is wonderful when you wait a long time too, because as there's no wood, you have not the accessibility of the elegance of the wood. So the minority need more time. So Blanchot is good with 15, 20 years.
The flavor just lingers.
Yes.
It's beautiful.
Now the opposite, after Blanchot, it's Beaudésir, which is very accessible, like Vaillon. It's a hot valley, so very, it's the most mature part of the Grand Cru.
and you find this accessibility, a lot of aromas, of elegance, of perfume. It's more feminine.
So this one is
Bonizia.
Yes. Oh, it's amazing. It's just amazing to be able to try all those vineyards lined up, and you see the progression, and they're all different.
Yeah.
Is that?
If you have time, just after, I have some wine to taste in 15 vintage for meat. So I have to taste to see what is the most accessible. Yeah. So if you have time, we taste after.
Oh, yeah, we have time. We would like time.
No, I put it now because it was in a hot place, because it's too fresh here, but to have a good temperature to taste. So sorry, what is here? Mm-hmm. You see the difference? The nose accessible at now, with nuts, with almond. It's very very elegant. And we compare with Valmure, which is after the style of Vaudesier, which is very round, feminine, accessible. Valmure is more is less accessible, more close, but with more power, more rich. So it's more masculine. Valmure is near Lake Lowe, so it's more dense, more rich. That's the reason for that.
How much oak do you give these? This kind
of quantity?
How much oak?
Yes, for 40%. The same quantity as in Bolesia, but totally different expression. Bolesia put out the oak with nuts, with almond. Valmure keep inside like a big stone. It's more, it's not evident to find it. Yeah. You see the difference? It's more rich and more dense. Alors, now Grenouille, in the center of Grand Cru Grenouille, yes.
I think this is a vineyard we don't see a lot in Australia. You see Le Clos, like everyone wants Le Clos, and
yes.
You see Bois d'Azur and Valmure a fair bit, but yeah, this I think this vineyard, I don't know if it doesn't get imported much. Or if it's
Grenouille?
Yeah.
It's because I don't have too much possibility. But I think I sell some Grenouille. Team take near to all the range.
Yeah.
But yes, of course, when we perhaps have two cases, though, perhaps he keep it. And Grenouille, it's the lowest Grand Cru, and there are just 9 hectares, and on the 9 hectares, Charbizien have 7 hectares.
So
there's not a lot for the other.
That's probably why we don't see it a lot in Australia.
Yeah. It's always very powerful with spicy aromas.
Mm. I can almost drink that now. It's got so much flavor and weight.
It's my oldest wine. Now the oldest part was planted in 47, so it's 72 years old. So of course, it's a good concentration.
Mm. What are your cropping levels like, Benoit? How many grapes do you get off each vine?
What's your yield?
Yield, it's depend of the vintage, but when we can, we are near to 45 hectolitres. 45 hectolitres. How can you?
So when we're in Champagne.
Yes. In kilo. Where I don't know the translation, but we have half the yield of Champagne. Yeah. No, Champagne, c'est 176 kilos.
Ah, ça fait une Champagne. 5, 7, ça ferait 7000 kilos. 7000 kilos.
Big. But because Champagne, they don't press. It's difficult to show because Champagne they dispute about the press. Mm-hmm. And they say we don't press too much. So yes, of course they have not the yield are not very important after, but the quantity of grapes are the double of us. It's difficult to compare. Difficult to compare because if we have the grapes of the Champagne in Burgundy and we take the grapes and we press, when they say we do 8 Generally, they do 70 hectolitres to 80 hectolitres. But if we press the grapes, we have 120 hectolitres.
Yeah.
So what I want to explain is that they have a lot of grapes, and big grapes, and we can't have that here. It's not possible. The quality would be not good. For champagne, it's necessary to have not too much concentration, because in champagne, they don't want too much sugar, they want most acidity, and not too concentrate, because after, it's too heavy for champagne. But it's totally different for Burgundy.
Yeah.
So it's difficult to compare.
Yeah.
And to finish, Les Clos. So Les Clos, for example, in 17, it was very, very concentrated. Normally, Les Clos is very mineral, very fine, pure. And this year, it's not I don't like Les Clos, but Les Clos is not what I know of Les Clos, what I expect. It's very warm, very rich, because the concentration is very important. We just have 20 hectolitres in 17. Yep. So it was very, very concentrated. So it's a good wine to keep a long time. To have more precision, to have more minerality. Normally, Les Clos need 20 years, I think perhaps more for 17.
Yep.
It's rich, it's dense, but less precise than in comparison with Monte Tonnerre. Because normally, Les Clos Monte Tonnerre is too similar wine, but with the complexity of a Grand Cru Les Clos, it's better than Monte Tonnerre, but it's the same aromas. And at this stage, we don't have the same aromas.
It's funny you say that, the comparisons, because in Australia, everybody wants Les Clos and they want Monte de Tonnerre.
I know. It's the same thing in France with a
different
Monte de Tonnerre. Like you take a Monte de Tonnerre. Monte de Tonnerre is the one that you have don't. To take, you do not have to take at the restaurant, because you have to wait 15 to 20 years, and you never have this vintage in a restaurant. It's not possible.
No.
So we know that it's too young, but we take it. It's always like that, because you say, yes, I prefer Monte Tonnerre with just 30% of potential now than Montmain with 80%. It's in the ice. But if we put two glasses in blind test, I'm sure that you say, yes, it's very fine with the Monte Tonnerre, but I prefer to drink the Montmain.
Right, absolutely.
But in the head, we say, no, we take Monte Tonnerre to be sure. I know it's too young, but I take it.
Yeah.
Like for the clothes.
As part of Seniors Week this October, Doncaster Templestowe Historical Society will conduct a free admission day for seniors on Saturday the 12th of October from 2 p.m. to 5 p.m. at their Shrams Cottage Museum off Victoria Street in Muriel Green Drive, Doncaster East. Come and enjoy their wonderful museum of local history and the fruit growing industry. You will be amazed at the wonderful collection of artifacts and memorabilia on display, and afternoon tea is included. For inquiries, contact Glenys on 9848 3264. The Doncaster Templestowe Historical Society is another community group member of 96.5 Inner FM.
So, hello. It's a five wine in 15 vintage. So we will taste. It's interesting to compare. Voilà. It's a 15 vintage. It's like six. It's a vintage for me to keep a long time, because it's too heavy, too hot. But the person who asked me wants 15. So, okay.
You try 15.
So she asked me what is the more fresh, pure. I say 15 is not fresh, not pure, because it's a little hot. So I will taste the pin with you, and we dispute about that. So we start with Vaillant.
The nose is good.
It's not close. I was imagined that it would be more close.
And yeah, it's interesting because you have aromas of chalk, real chalk, lacré, like in Champagne. It's interesting. It's a good surprise for me because I was imagining more difficulty to taste the wine just after 17. 17 is rich, fresh, cold, and the opposite with 15 but it's okay. It's okay.
It's got a beautiful expression on the nose, and the up front the palate's quite rich.
Yes,
but
you see that there's not big acidity, of course, because it's 15, but it's not bad. Oh, it's interesting. Now Montmartre.
Classic Montmartre in the mouth. So reduction of nuts, fresh nuts, fresh nuts.
It's not as open though. It's very textural and viscous, but not bags of flavor.
And good surprise for me for 15 because I don't taste 15 because every time I drink the last vintage, so 17. Last year it was 16, and generally I taste older vintage, but I don't taste just 2 years ago. And it's the first time. It's interesting.
Is that slightly corked?
Slightly corked.
Corked, Bouchonnet? Corktaint? Corktaint. I don't know how to describe it. Never mind.
Bouchonnet?
So that's Bouchon?
It's Diam.
Diam. Oh, it is Diam, okay.
Yeah, it's Diam. No, imagine there's some cork.
I wondered if it was...
I think it's it's a blend of... It's the wood you can have.
Yeah.
But no, it's not possible. It's Diam.
Yeah.
Alors, Fourchon?
Have you ever experimented with screw caps?
No. I know it's a good closer, but... it's not evident to put it in application because lot of reasons. No, but I prefer natural cork. Yeah. And now with Diam, we have good solution.
Yeah.
But I'm not against. I think it's a good closure again.
Yeah.
Aromas of truffle. You see, find more of the wood. Of course, this is for sure. Mm. But with a round style, it could be Greek. It's not so close. It's not close. No. It's accessible. Very interesting to taste the 15 for me. Now, the wine we don't taste in 17 because it was a very, very low yield.
Yeah.
It's Voloran. Voloran, it's the premier cru near Lepreuse. It's a very pure, like Monte Tonnerre, very pure terroir. Voloran. More oysters aromas, more salty, more the sea aromas.
Yeah,
it's completely different again.
Yeah. Instantly, that kind of spice and oyster shell—it's good.
More pure, but it's normal because Voloran is a very there's not earth, there's a big stone of Kimmeridgian. It's very, very elegant, elegant minority. And Monte Tonnerre, more mineral, more fresh, and it's normal because. In fresh vintage, Monte Tonnerre is less expressive, more closed. But in cold vintage, it's more, little more open. And I don't know what your opinion, but for me, I search the wine which is the most classic and mineral, and which have the less expression of the vintage.
Yeah.
Because what I search is. Which is a wine which is not influenced too much by the vintage. And I think for me, when I test, it's Monte Tonnerre, but what do you think about that?
In terms of drinking them, I think the first one, the
Bayon. Was surprising, yes. Yeah. We can taste again the Bayon after.
But for me, I thought the most interesting was actually Cologne. Yeah.
Because you don't taste it before.
I think so, yeah.
It's very...
What do you think, Ian?
My pick of the five would be...
Voloran,
yes. Yeah. That was just a little bit different to the others.
Yes. You find more minority in this one. Mm-hmm. Right, we put out these 2-1 and we test the three again the three wine to compare. It's interesting. Vaillon, just
Vaillon. And so you think the Vaillon is very much expressive of the vintage.
Yes, expressive, oysters, yeah. Salty aromas, yes, I totally agree.
It has less structure than the other.
Yes.
It's the only problem for me, it's you find a different level. But the aromas are very pure. Now, Voloran.
It's something that's just a little bit different about this one. I'm not sure what it is, but it's nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Montetonet. And for me, Montetonet is more fresh, with more oysters, aromas. But the complexity of Voloran is very interesting too. But what do you think? It's interesting, yeah?
I think we're having five bottles, and you're going to take Monty to Tenere just to be safe.
No, your position. It's interesting to have a position. I think you like this one, you like Voloran.
Yeah, so tasting the Vaillant again, going back.
Yes, you see, you find the liver. At first, when it was the first time, oh, it's good.
Yeah.
But when you go back, you say, yes, it's good, but under the other, which liver, not for me. But the two others are very interesting, but in the style I search, freshness, purity, it's not the best. It's good to drink, not for the tasting of freshness.
Yeah.
Freshness is more Vaillant, Voloran, Montetonnerre. After Vaillant, it's level under. Between the two, what is your?
I can take either of them easily. I think this one.
Voloran, yes, prefer Voloran. Yeah. More pure. Yeah. And you too?
Yeah, I think
that's
so.
That's interesting. Okay. I will test again. I think tomorrow with one. With one day of oxygen, it's always changed. But if I have to taste, if I have to choose, because I'm not sure, I think I will take Voloran because it's interesting to have another position. For me, at this stage, I prefer Montetonnerre, perhaps because in my head it's Montetonnerre.
Yeah.
But Voloran is a very, very good terroir. You know, Voloran is very, very known by connoisseurs because it's not very known in generally. But for people who know Chablis, they all want Voloran because it's just near Les Preux.
Yes.
We say it's a Petit Preux. It's the same style.
Yeah. They're all fantastic. So trying to pick one out of all of it is quite hard.
Yes. It's dependent of the taste of all, but I know that there are no problem with all the wine. But it's to just to find the wine which the more appreciate.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's okay with the two wine. It's just to have to take a decision.
Yeah, you got to get it done. That's fantastic. Thank you so much for doing that.
Yeah, that was really good.
Yeah,
thank you. Lovely to see the
different styles.
Just stepping through the and pick your areas here and.
We are very lucky in Chablis to have different appellations, different terroirs, and it's important to show it, to show that there's different terroirs because there's different style, and not to say I taste 15 different wines, but it was always Chablis.
Yeah. Now,
yes, it's Chablis, but you have a lot of nuance, and sometimes you prefer the rich style, sometimes the fruit wine, the fine wine. They are all different. It's like children. They are all different.
But you still have your favourites.
You don't have to say that. Yeah.
That was Benoit Drouin showing us around his estate with myself and Ian, who joined me on the tour of France earlier in April. And there is still some Drouin 2017 for sale. You better email me, philip@thewinedepository.com.au.